Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. We talked about a week before last, our last study, in the study of Genesis. We talked about the circumcision, baptism, contrast, and raised the question, does baptism replace circumcision? I thought I dealt with it fairly, I know I dealt with it soundly and somewhat extensive. I surprised myself going as deep into it and having the details on it that I shared with you. And I hope we learned something there. So that's a critical subject out here. And it may come up with you. It may come up with you. I know you got a neighbor occasionally that, Pado Baptist, and that's where it all goes back to. And the idea among those people is, Teresa, that baptism is just a substitute for circumcision. Basically, under the idea of the covenants, but it's the same thing. But that's not so. So if you ever have that come up, that lesson is on file. It's on CD. And you'll be able to get your copy and listen to it and give it to somebody if they're interested in it. With me, it's an open, shut case. It's just, but it's been around for centuries. And the argument, the debate is still there. And some of the best commentators and expositors in my study up there, Pado Baptist. And they'll do everything they can to try to, they'll even stretch a text completely out of its context. Won't they? J.C. Ryle is terrible about it. I love J.C. Ryle, but he'll do it when he's Pado Baptist, and when he gets to it, it doesn't matter if the text is 1,000 miles from it. He'll try to stretch that thing around and make it fit the Pado Baptist idea. But you can't do it. You just can't do it. It's not there. And so keep that in mind if you ever want to listen to it and study it, take it and study it and add to it. It's back there. But I'm going to go back to verse number 1. Because there's a message here, a lesson here, that I want to deal with just a little bit tonight. In this verse, this one verse. When Abram was 99 years old. 99 years old. Remember now, he was 86. When he made that, 85 actually, when he made that mistake, that terrible mistake back in chapter 16, and listened to his wife, and took Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, and went into her. She conceived and had this boy named Ishmael. He's 85 when he did that. He's born, Ishmael was born. Abram was 86. You can see that there in the last verse of chapter 16. So it's been a while, hasn't it? What, 14 years? 99 years old. And the Lord appears to him. Matter of fact, chapter 16 sort of is like a parenthesis. It's just a space of time there that you don't see a whole lot of. Find anything much there about God communing with Abraham. He's going through hell in the home. That's obvious, isn't it? Go over and read it carefully. It broke loose, but he brought it down on himself. He had nobody to blame but himself. He should have followed God and listened to God. God already told him back in chapter 15, made a covenant with him, told him he's going to have a son, he's going to issue forth the covenant and his seed out of his own flesh, not out of somebody else. He's going to come from his own loins. But wife got a little bit pasty and impatient. And she's getting old, and he's getting old. And said, we need to do something about it. Maybe it's just the Lord going to do it through Hagar. Nah, that wasn't it. Abraham knew it, I believe. He knew that. He knew better than that. We do a lot of things we know better than do, don't we? You ever done it? Come on, be honest with me. If I'm the only one in here who's going to be honest now, do something and say, what did I do that for? Huh? What did you do that for? I asked myself. You ever talk to yourself? I answer myself sometimes. They say you got a problem when you do that. What did you do that for? I'm sure Abraham, think how many times he asked himself, what in the world did I do that for? Got trouble, 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 trouble. Got enough trouble just walking with God and trying to obey God, don't. But he's 99 years old. And the Lord appeared. He appeared to him. Isn't that blessed? Isn't that blessed? God could have just left him alone. Left him to himself. He could do that with you. He could. Does he owe anything to anybody in here? Don't owe anything to me. I mean, I've never incurred a debt on God. Nothing I've done. No, sir. It's just by the grace of God that I get along. What about you? By grace, isn't it? That's what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. And that's the reason God appeared to Abraham like he appeared to him here. This is a brand new, fresh revelation of God here. Never before did he reveal himself to a human being. I'm talking about from Abraham all the way back to Adam. Not before this had he revealed himself to a human being as El Shaddai. That's the Hebrew here. Look at it. He says, I and the am supplied by the translators. Let's just leave that out. I, the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. That's how he appeared to him. El Shaddai, the strong one, the omnipotent one. This Hebrew word, El Shaddai, you know what it means? All sufficient. Abraham needed this at this time. All sufficient. Self-sufficient. I'm going to enlarge you. Independent. Absolute. The original. Universal good. Universal good. Man does not derive a thing from himself and of himself and by himself. We live, we move, we breathe. I'm talking about every man, every human being. Lost or saved. Converted or unconverted. Righteous or wicked, every living thing is dependent on El Shaddai. Aben Ezra, an old Jewish theologian. If you read John Gill, you'll run up on him a lot, won't you? Gill quotes him a lot. He interprets El Shaddai as a conqueror. A conqueror. Others interpret the name as a destroyer. Well, a conqueror is a destroyer. I got interested recently in old Alexander the Great. Got to dabbling around a little bit with Alexander the Great. And he was great. And it was absolutely amazing with what little he had, how much greatness he achieved. Starting from Macedonia and went all the way to India and just swept everything that was in his way out of the way and destroyed that great Medo-Persian empire. Conqueror. He was a conqueror. But he could not have lifted one little finger had it not been for El Shaddai. And El Shaddai had already prophesied through Daniel the prophet the greatness of Alexander. What are you going to do? God's always ahead of us, isn't he? My God is. Oh, glory be unto God. My God is always out front. Somebody said, aren't you worried, Pastor, about this election coming up and this way all this stuff is forming and who possibly might be president here in another year or so? Are you worried about it? Not the least. El Shaddai is in control. And it's already determined what's going to be. It may not work out like we want it to, but it's going to work out like he planned it to. Come on now. Come on. I'm going to do what I can. I did that, last week? Went down there and had two rocks in my pocket. One a black and one a white. Oh, I shook him thing. It didn't make no difference. It didn't make any difference, did it? Now, I tell you, I didn't vote Democrat, but the one I voted for didn't win either. But it doesn't matter. I did what I could. That's all. I mean, I exercised my liberty. And I thank God for it, don't you? But I'm not going to lose sleep over it, are you? Whichever way it goes. Because El Shaddai is going to accomplish all his purpose. Not one thing is going to be frustrated. This word comes from Shaddai. That's the root word. It means to shed or to pour forth or pour out. Now, if you have a Scofield, by nobody here got a Scofield now, did they? I've criticized Scofield enough. I hope you don't have one. Scofield makes so many blunders. He makes a blunder here with this, and a lot of them picked up on it with this shadow. Comes from a root word, shad, which is a word that you get a breast from, like a woman's breast. And they try to make El Shaddai as a feeder, like a woman feed babies from the breast. And somewhat equalizes him, if you're a heathen, an idolater, a pagan, equalizes him with the goddess Diana, whose figure was a woman with her breast bare, as she was the feeder of the world. That's not what he's talking about here. Just throw your Scofield Bible away. That's not what he's talking about here. What he said, I am that God who pours out his blessings. Blessings. Who gives them richly, abundantly, and continually. You see, if a seed of faith, this is what he's telling Abram here. I am that God. I am the Almighty. I'm El Shaddai. Abraham, I've never revealed this to any other man. But I'm revealing this unto you in light of your terrible clumsiness and mistakes in the calamity that you brought yourself into over here. I'm that God who pours out blessings. You can rest in me. You can trust me. You don't have to try to do it for me. I'm the one who gives richly, abundantly, and continually. Wait on me. Hey, folks, we need to stop and think about that. Wait on me, God says. Don't be hasty. I'm telling you, over my 38 years of pastoring here and another place somewhere else for a year, nearly 40 years of my life has been spent trying to help people through the Word of God. And I've seen so many, and I could number them. I could tell you their stories over and over again. Some of them are still living with their mistakes of not waiting upon God. Getting ahead of God. It costs nothing but trouble when you do that. And I try to tell folks, and I'll continue to try to tell folks and help folks do what I can. But we human beings will keep making trouble for ourselves. We're just going to do it. But that's what he's telling this old fellow here, Abraham. Just hold up, Abraham. Wait on me. I'll fulfill my promise to you. If a seed of faith is to inherit the promises, it must come by El Shaddai. By God's power. By the one who is omnipotent. Hold up. The law, listen, the law and the flesh profits what? Nothing. Nothing. Look over here at Galatians. If you don't believe me, believe Paul. I'd never make a stupid statement, I am saved by law. How ignorant and misleading can you get? I'm going to praise God for grace as long as there's breath in me to praise God. I wouldn't want to lead you in any other direction. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 21, tell me, Paul said, tell me. Ye that desire to be under the law. Do you don't hear what the law says? Huh? You're not listening to what the law says? Well, let me tell you, it's written. Go back and read your Bible. Go back and read Genesis chapter 16. Of course, written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. Flesh, 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 flesh. And that's all you can make out of flesh. You want to sanctify the flesh? Go at it. But when you get it all sanctified, it's still going to be flesh. But he who was born, who was of the bondwoman, was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. It teaches us. It's an illustration. It's an earthly picture of the spirituality of this thing. The grace of God. And how grace works. How God fulfills His promise. It's an allegory. For these are the two covenants. The two testaments. The old, the new. And you're not to confound them. No, sir. They're distinct. You don't throw the old out as you would a baby with the bathwater. But you've got to keep it in context with the new. The one from Mount Sinai. The one from Mount Sinai. Which gendereth what? To bondage. And that's Agar or Hagar. That's what she pictures. That's what she represents. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answereth to Jerusalem, which now is. Jerusalem, talking about old Jerusalem. Paul said, which now is, and the Judaizers, the Jews that hang on to that Old Testament, that Old Covenant, are in a state of bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above. And I read you that a while ago in Revelation chapter 3, wasn't it? The Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. That's the new Jerusalem. That's the city of grace. And she's always coming down out of heaven. When you're born again, where are you born from? Above. You're born from above. You're born from the top. That's what that word means, above. But it means from the top. You're born from the top. And that's where God's church comes down from. He draws our soul up there, regenerates it, renews it, transforms it, and then lets it back down until He's through with it in this world. Then He'll go back up. And we're part of that new Jerusalem, that society of the newborn. But Jerusalem, verse 26 again, which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. He's just gonna produce more by the power of the Spirit, by the power of His own hand, than the flesh ever dreamed about producing. Now we, brethren, as Isaac are the children of promise. So you got that? But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so. Same case today. All right, look back over here again. I, the Almighty, I, El Shaddai, the Almighty, this is revelation. It's in the name. El Shaddai can and must do everything. And He will. He will. You see, no movement or workings of nature are of avail. Everything that is for God must be effected by His almighty power. Must be. You see, this religious world, it's always been. It's always been. It's not changed. It's what Paul was talking about there in Galatians chapter 4. He was referring, when he talked about Jerusalem, old Jerusalem, and her children being in bondage, he was talking about man's religion. That was the state of the situation in that day. And it's never changed, right down through the corridors of time. Man's religion. How's it formed? How's it fashioned? After the flesh. After the flesh. This old religious world is full of the Hagar-Ishmael principle. It's full of it. It's still working out there. He said, as it was then, the flesh persecuted the child of promise. He said it goes on today. They're still doing that. He's talking about the Judaizers. He said they're coming after me all the time. They're coming after you. They're constantly persecuting you. Have they stopped? Hey, if you stand for truth now, stand for the gospel. Be bold now, stand for the gospel. I guarantee you're going to suffer some persecution. You're not going to be liked by everyone. You're not going to be loved by everyone. Your family members will disown you. Your friends will forsake you. They'll cut you off here and there. You'll be cut off. It's just going to happen. It never stops. That's begotten, formed, and fashioned, religious-wise, after the flesh, is going to persecute that. It comes by promise. You got that? See, what they insist on, don't they do this? They do with me. What they insist on is something, I quote, something can be and must be secured on the line of flesh and law. Huh? I've had them say, well, how in the world can anybody be saved in your church? Y'all don't even have an altar. You ever had anybody say that? Huh? You have an altar call in your church? No, we don't do that. Well, how can folks be saved? You see what I'm talking about? They insist that something's got to be secured by flesh. By some kind of law or some kind of carnal participation. You know what's down here at the front? Huh? I'm down here, that's about it. There's a little platform down here. There's a pulpit up here. And I'm going to tell you something worse than all that. You know what's down here? Superstition. I could get folks to come down my soul. I know how it's done. I was in that stuff. All you got to do is tell a few, you know, scary tales or some sad tales or something or other. You know, talk about the little boy's dog getting run over on the railroad track and stuff like that. Get a few tears shed. Then say, come on down. Don't have to preach an ounce of the gospel. Just get them, you know, emotionally high. And then get them to come on down and make some kind of confession. They don't even know what they're confessing. That's flesh. That's flesh. And I'm not going to practice that stuff. That's making twofold more the child of hell than what they were to begin with. I mean, listen, your business, sinner friend, is there with Christ, not here with me. I'll preach the gospel to you. I'll tell you what the Lord says clear as I possibly can. And you do business with Him. If you don't do business with Him, you're out of business. That's all there is to it. You're just out of business. No, no. All that has to be set aside, folks, it has to be put aside. I saw that years, years, years ago. One of my greatest regrets is that I gave the least practice to that stuff in my infant ministry when I started out. I tell you, that's one of my greatest regrets. That's not what it is. Has to be put aside. God can and must do everything if there is to be a true seed to inherit His promise. That's what He's telling Abraham here. That's what He's telling us. The old hymn writer said this: "The gracious work must all be thine. The gracious work must all be thine, begun and ended in thy power." And that's so. Then he said this to Abraham. He said, "Walk before me and be perfect." Boy, that'd throw you for a loop, wouldn't it? It doesn't bother me. "Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now listen to me. If we walk before Him in the sense of what I've been telling you, that is, in the sense of His manifestation to your heart that He is El Shaddai, that He accomplishes all His will and all His pleasure and all His purpose, that it is His power from start to finish with you out of it, no flesh involved in it, no help giving Him. He does help the helpless, doesn't He? That's contrary to the marquee out in front of the church you pass out there. He helps those that help themselves. And I tell you what, if that had been my case, I'd still been on my way straight to hell. No hope at all. No, sir. What I'm saying, now listen to me. If we walk before Him in the sense of this manifestation, this revelation, El Shaddai, the strong one, the all-sufficient, self-sufficient, independent one, who accomplishes all His purpose, all His will, all His pleasure by His own power. If we walk before Him in a sense of this, listen to me, we shall be perfect. You get that? I really want to make that one clear. We shall be perfect. That is, we root out the flesh, root out the law, root out law works, and trust absolutely, teetotally, without reservation in His all-sufficiency, we shall walk before Him and be perfect. Yeah? Does that make any sense? I don't think you can fit it in any other context. You got trouble if you don't. If you don't look at it in this sense. Because that, my dear ones, is the only way you or I will ever reach perfection. Now that's the lesson here. If you miss that in Genesis 17, you've missed it. Don't go any further. Go back until you learn that. Don't go to 18, 19, 20. Go back to 17, because that's the lesson here. That's what He's teaching Abram. You see, the whole work of divine grace must be of God. When we walk before God in this sense, we are perfect. Yeah, that's sure. I'll guarantee it. Therefore, Let us have no thought of expecting anything from nature or flesh or law works. Everything must be of God. He's the author and the finisher of my faith, Brett. He's the beginning and end of my salvation. God says, as it were here, walk before me in the sense of what my power can and will do, Abram, and you'll be all right. You'll be all right. And I believe that, don't you? I really do. You see, when we learn that God is Almighty God, when we learn that, Almighty God, that He can and must do everything from first to last, I'm going to tell you, then we can cut the flesh loose. With every expectation from it, cut it all loose. I wish I could do this, don't you? Try. I'm talking about not just in salvation, but blessed be God, I wish I could do it in everything. Just rest in God. Sometimes it's hard for me to make a decision because I'm afraid I'm going to mess up, you know. You've never been that way pastoring. I've made a few good ones, but I look back on and see that they were good decisions. Did something right. And did something wrong. One of the best decisions I ever made, and I didn't see it till after I'd done it, and time passed, was putting that boy back yonder over those young people. That's the best move I ever made in the Sunday school, Arab Sunday school. They put Ward Pettinger. I didn't know where you could do it or not, son. But you can. God, you can because God could. And God blessed you. And another pretty good move when we started involving these fellas here in the church. We had some gifted men here just sitting back on their hands, and it's my fault. Letting one or two do everything? No, we got some good men here. Y'all better be thankful you got some good men here. Matter of fact, you go back and look over this thing, you didn't have to get nobody from the outside. You could have saved that money. Because these fellas work for nothing, don't they? But listen, I didn't know that, but God did. I moved out trusting the Lord. And look back over and say, did I say, oh, what a good boy am I? No, sir. I marvel at how God works. Now He works. He's going to get the job done. He is. With or without us, He's going to do it. But there's a few good decisions, good moves. Abraham made a bad one here. But God's going to straighten it all out now. He said, all you got to do now, Abraham, is just rest in the fact that I'm El Shaddai. I'm the Almighty One. And I'll accomplish this thing that you've been trying to work on. You got your flesh all involved in it. Look what a mess you got yourself into. Just sit back now and watch me. He could do it, couldn't he? He did it. I am the Almighty God. You see, walking before God in Christ, all the conditions of perfection is always present and perfectly met. And that's what this is about here. That's what it's all about here. Isn't that what Paul said? He said when over here in Genesis, when it speaks of Abraham's seed, he said he's not talking about seed plural. He's talking about seed in the singular. He's talking about Christ. That's what he's all about. So I am the Almighty God. That is to say, nothing can overcome God. I'm going to tell you, this is comfort to my heart. I hope it's comfort to your hearts. This is comfort to my heart in a time where the forces of evil and destruction appear to be overwhelming. It is. I mean, it seems to loom more and more out here, you know. Pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. You younger people that have these children, I've got grandchildren, now great-grandchild, and I see this wickedness, this corruption, this filthiness pressing in more and more and more. But God is almighty. God is almighty. And I know this, that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church of the Almighty God. And are not going to prevent the church from accomplishing her mission in getting the gospel into the four corners of this world. And when God, El Shaddai, is pleased, He'll roll back the forces of evil so quick and so fast you won't know what happened. He can do it overnight. You tell you right now, if we could just come to the deep-seated concept and understanding of this new revelation to Abraham. El Shaddai. My, isn't there a lot in the name? Huh? Inexhaustive. He begins to unveil this to Abraham more and more. Comes to him in chapter 18. Getting a little older. Sarah's getting a little older. He said, don't worry about it. Settle down now. Said, I'm going to tell you, this time next year, Sarah's going to have a child. Sarah's back there in the kitchen, cooking a little bit. And don't laugh at God. He's El Shaddai. Hey, did it come to pass? Exactly like God said it would. Matter of fact, responding to Sarah's laugh, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm telling you, Abraham, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall. Not maybe. Not maybe. Shall have a son. Shall have a son. Can't get that thing come out now. What's them doctors you ladies go to? Huh? No, I'm talking about what you call them. Uh-huh. Gynecologists. You know, they run these tests on these girls and all kind of examination. Sometimes convince them they can't have a baby. That's the doctor's word. Wonder if Sarah came home with that report. Reckon she did? That might have been why she laughed. No, sir. God Almighty, El Shaddai, said it's going to happen. You shall have a child. And she did have a child, right?
Yes.
Hey, apply that to everything. Never doubt the I wills and I shalls of God. Hey, old Jacob and Isaac. Or Jacob said to, or excuse me, Isaac said to Jacob, when he's fixing to hit the road, run from Esau, go back to Padan Aram. You remember that? That's in chapter 28, Lord willing, if we live long enough, we'll get to it. But he said this to his son Jacob. Isaac said this. And God Almighty bless thee. There it is again. And God Almighty, El Shaddai, bless thee. And make thee fruitful. And multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Yes, old Jacob, he done ain't not even married. He's going back looking for a wife somewhere. But old Isaac knew, didn't he? Why? Because he had the promise that was handed down from his father Abraham. And Abraham had thoroughly taught Isaac the manifestation of El Shaddai. And so he says, son, he says, God Almighty bless you and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Did he? Huh? Did he? Yes, sir, he did. To Jacob he said, hey, this is in chapter 35 now. So you go between chapter 28 and chapter 35 and you put all of that strivings and workings and schemings and stuff that Jacob was guilty of, trying to accomplish all things by the flesh, until finally the Lord broke his hip, won the wrestling match, put a halt in him. Jacob found power with God. Isn't that what it said? Became a prince with God. El Shaddai got a hold of him. El Shaddai revealed himself to him. And El Shaddai told him, he told him this, after Jacob had run out of all of his schemes, I am God Almighty. That's what your father told you, Isaac. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Blessed be God, it happened, didn't it? Amen. 12 sons, right down the line you go. Yeah. He's El Shaddai. He's God Almighty. I wish we could rest in that. Trust Him, don't you? You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. All right, brothers.